Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson. In this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Sujan Patel, the co-founder of Web Profits, his growth marketing agency that's worked with companies like Salesforce, Mint, Intuit, and many other Fortune 500 brands from around the world. Sujan is also the co-founder of Mailshake, a tool for perfecting your cold email outreach used by nearly 14,000 paying customers. He's a man of many talents with over 13 years of internet marketing experience. He's built multiple SaaS and agency businesses, and somehow Sujan finds the time to write regularly for publications like Entrepreneur, Forbes, and Inc. I don't know how he does it, but somewhere in the mix, Sujan also writes books about growth hacking. His most popular, called 100 Days of Growth, has sold over 35,000 copies worldwide. Today's interview is another that I originally recorded for the Inside Sales Summit last fall. That was the online event I co-hosted with Close.io, the inside sales CRM of choice for startups. And for that event, I did interviews with people like Sujan, Steli Efti, Neil Patel, Heaton Shaw, and more. So if you like what you hear today and you want to keep the fun going, then check out the other 50 plus interviews just like this one over at InsideSalesSummit.com. And for today, we're here with Sujan Patel. In this episode, Sujan and I talk about what it's like balancing running multiple businesses at once and the biggest lessons he's learned both in the worlds of software as a service and in running digital agencies. We explore his famous cold email experiment where he sent more than 2 million outreach messages and tracked the effectiveness of different messaging techniques, the learnings of which went into the building of his cold email outreach tool, Mailshake. We dive into the biggest deals Sujan has been a part of, the most effective selling and negotiating techniques he's employed, and the biggest mistakes he sees aspiring entrepreneurs making today. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Sujan Patel. Sujan, welcome to the summit.
Hey, thanks for having me. Thanks for the warm introduction as well.
So you've had your hand in a lot of different businesses over the years, and whether they were your own, like the marketing agency or Mailshake, or with companies you've worked for, does any particular deal stick out in your mind as having been the most important that you've ever been a part of?
I think they've all been kind of, I've been working my way up to bigger and better deals and kind of more important, fun things to work on. So I think what I'm doing now is probably the most important, because on the Web Profit side, it gives me an opportunity to work with lots of different large companies. We usually work with either like really like people, startups that are in the growth phase, Series A, Series B typically, or even not funded, but they have like $1 million, $2 million in annual revenue, or really, really big companies who have all their marketing in chaos, and we go in and make it work and or fix it. Like we have a client that's in that's in CPG, in the CPG space, and they want to build an e-commerce presence. They don't have an e-commerce site, but they're like a freaking multi-billion dollar company, and they have a huge email list that they've never even ever emailed. So it's like those types of situations. It's a lot of fun, right? Like I just get to, I love kind of coming in and just doing a bunch of fixing and understanding. Because I look at it as like assets or low-hanging fruit, and it's like organizing all this low-hanging fruit and what's going to actually provide an impact. So it's a lot of fun just kind of seeing that and being able to experience like growth. And then as we kind of, we go and fix that, I call it a zoo, we fix the zoo and make it work. Then my team kind of takes over a lot of that stuff, and I get to move on to the next zoo to fix.
Do you remember the very first zoo you fixed with Web Profits?
I do. Unfortunately, on the Web Profits front, I can't share a lot of juicy details just through NDAs and whatnot. But I mean, I could tell you from, you know, with a company we recently bought. We bought a company called VolaNorbert.com. It's an email finding tool similar to like a Hunter.io and whatnot. There's a ton of them out there. But VolaNorbert is this, like the brand is this Frenchman, right? This guy's name is Norbert, but I've heard his, it's not actually how you pronounce Norbert in French. I don't know how to say it, but it's like Sorbet, right? Like it's like Norbet or like whatever. Anyways, that's an example of like a zoo that we're in the middle of fixing. We also bought another company called linktexting.com a year ago, and we've just kind of fixed that. So I can share a couple things on that front. So one, this site gets a lot of traffic, it's relative to the industry. I think it's probably, my estimate is probably the top like 3-4 players in the space. But it fails to convert people. And it fails to convert people into a free trial. It fails to convert people into paid customers. And, when we bought it, I was like, wow, this is a gold mine, because all I have to do is double, triple conversion rates. And that sounds hard, but the numbers are pretty low, so it's not that hard. It is hard. You got to understand the audience coming into new market, what have you. But there's opportunities. These guys, the two co-founders, are developers and awesome guys. They had just lots of low hanging fruit. So we came in. We bought the company about a month and a half ago. We came in like, okay, let's go make this thing work, right? Like whatever is happening to date, it's like, it was not intentional that it got there the way it got there. So we're writing email marketing, onboarding emails. We've fixed the product. We've added more, even simple things like being faster to respond to tickets. We started blogging. Like there's actually content on the blog. It's not like before it was like this like startup journey, watch us grow from 0 to 100,000, like kind of Groove HQ style. And that's just not the audience. Nobody cares to see us grow. I mean, our competitors do, but I don't really care about those guys telling them stuff. So, we're going through the motions of really just fixing it. We're going in optimizing like the product. We're going in and optimizing, if you log into the, it's completely free to sign up, but you log in, you go in there, and it never asks you to ever purchase. Like there was no real like ask. Like, if you don't ask, you never really get it. You're going to, very low chance you're going to get it. So we just started asking, and we started prompting people at the right time. So those types of things we've already seen a 30-35% bump in growth. Just because we fixed some stuff. Yeah.
Well, okay. So earlier today I was talking to Nathan Berry, and he told me to ask you about the study you ran comparing cold email response rate to whether or not you engaged with someone on social media first. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. That's funny. I was talking to Nathan as well. We pretty much did this. I did this study, on myself, and, we're doing a lot. Naturally I run two outbound sales companies. We do some outbound sales, right? So it's done happen. So we did about 50,000 emails this year, and that's a lot, too much. But the last 5,000-6,000 or so, we did this. First of all, it's not done through me. I'm not the one sending it out. So you remove the like having a personal brand, remove the like any credibility. There's no credibility from our sales team. They don't have personal brand. So I just want to make that clear. So we did a test where we sent the same email, like we found a campaign that works. And so we're like, okay, let's go send this out to more people. How do we get in front of the right people? It took us 50,000 kind of messages sent, and that's including replies, follow-ups, everything, right? To get to a point where we know what works. So now we're like, okay, how do we send this to more people, but also start to optimize it? And I took these strategies from my link building days, PR days. I never did PR, but like when you do link building, it's all about building that relationship. And I know, really, I don't know about you, but I don't have 50,000 relationships. I have like 50, right? 100, maybe, right? I have like 100 maybe softer ones. And then it kind of expands from there. But like when I'm building a relationship, I don't just go and like, hey, buy this. I see you're a sales professional. You could use our sales professional toolkit, whatever, right? I try to be very personalized. I I try to understand maybe their hobbies. I like get to know them. It's almost like you're dating somebody, right? So how do you apply that to link building and sales? The first thing we tried, and this is kind of what Nathan Berry was alluding to, is we engage with them on social media, right? And so we followed them on Twitter. We followed them. We viewed their LinkedIn page. And we tried other things as well, commenting on their blogs if they had one. And, you know, we went through a list of things like, how do we engage people before we even email them? Because typically we're like these like hawks that are building this list and kind of gathering all this information, enriching the data, that like an email address to like the position and scraping all these things and like trying to figure this out. So like we have this information. I'm looking at it. Like I know I personally looked through all the email, the list, and I'm like, no, don't email that guy. Don't email that person. Like that's the CEO of a billion-dollar company. That's a bad person to email. Like that's one, like I would email one time in my life because, he, you know, for a favor or like help the guy out or something like that. Right. So again, like, we found that just by not everybody has a blog, not everybody cares to blog. Not everybody pays attention to comments. And like, so we read out all the things that doesn't apply to the masses. And we're left with Twitter and LinkedIn because everybody has a LinkedIn, especially on the B2B side. And everybody needs a job or wants a job or wants to show off about how awesome they are. So LinkedIn works. Twitter, most people have. And since we're selling to a lot of sales professionals or podcasters and whatnot for Mailshake, we know that they have a Twitter. So we simply engage them on Twitter. We started doing a lot more things. So the first, like, of that 5,000 people, a few hundred of those guys, we like did really aggressive, like tweeted them favorite stuff, and our open rates are like double. And it was a small list. Our open rates are double. We did a lot of engagement. Like it worked. So I was like, okay, well, how do we scale this? If I'm going to send this to 5,000, 10,000 people, can't really engage with 10,000 people systematically without making it obvious that I'm just using Twitter and LinkedIn for this reason, right? Like if my Twitter feed was just like, hey, Bob, I love your product, great article. And like, I just do that 10,000 times. It just doesn't work. So following and favoriting following and viewing a profile was what we left with. And so then we're like, okay, let's screw this. Let's go send this off to another 1,000 people. And we saw like about 40 to 50%, somewhere between 40 and 50% increase in response rate. So like the only metric I care about in an outbound sale is a response rate. Even if they say no, at least I got the response rate. Nathan's response to that question was he only cares about the revenue it brings in. And I was like, sweet, that's even bigger, better. But anyways, I care about the response rate because I'm optimizing. So when we did that scale, it was about 35%. So that's kind of the backstory there.
Yeah, that's huge. And so I guess kind of like on the flip side of this, with all the projects you have going on, I'm sure you're being sold to like all the time. And whether it's someone that is selling to you or someone that you've worked with, who do you feel like has been like a really impressive salesperson?
I don't see very many people do a good job at this. I think a lot of people go for the kill. They go for the sale. They go for the ask. They go for taking your time or offering something too fast. Without knowing my pain point. So I don't have anyone off the top of my head because I would consider myself pretty jaded from this. So I get about 100 emails a day that are PR pitches because I write for a lot of publications. So everyone's pitching me to write. It's the same thing as if you were to do sales. So I get about like 75 to 100 sales emails a day selling me on some sort of software or whatever. And I'm like, have you actually looked at my freaking profile? Have you actually looked at this company? I don't think I need this service, you know? So it's just kind of like the most obvious stuff is missed. And it just continues to happen that way, right? Like when I mean obvious, I mean like, let's talk about the very, very obvious. The subject line is just super. And like, because I'm in this business, I actually open all these. So I get all the follow-ups too, which is awesome, right? But they all suck. They're just like, oh, I wanted to follow up. I wanted to follow up. Of course you did. But like, so the subject line is obviously something salesy. It's too, in general, I see emails are too much about the person sending it or the company that's sending it and not the recipient. The subject lines are usually like not creative enough. And number two, the first sentence is what kills everything else. So like the first sentence lacks engagement and or fails to get my attention most of the time. And so no matter what anything else in the email says, I'm already gone. I'm already kind of like, it's like trying to sell, it's trying to sell, you know, something door to door. And if you start by saying something stupid, you're not going to, it doesn't matter. They're going to close the door on you. And that's kind of what's happening. And then I think a lot of times people follow up really freaking regularly. But yeah, anyways, I could go on this for a while, but I don't know of anyone that's like, I love seeing emails from. I did, however, see an email that was forwarded to me from my co-founder.
Talking about cold email specifically then, how do you craft like that? You talked about the first line being the most important. How do you craft a first line that actually gets someone's attention and make them want to reply?
Yeah. So I look at like the person I'm emailing or the group of people I'm emailing. So for example, we just sent this off to this morning. We're emailing people, Mailshake is selling to salespeople. So we know they send outbound emails. Duh, right? We made this list of people who are hiring salespeople. Why? Because generally means sales are working for them, right? They're growing their sales department. So we had a qualified like list and process. And we kind of pruned through that to make sure the companies we're targeting are not too big. And we know Mailshake is great for one sales teams that are in the 1 to 5 range. So super small sales team, I guess. So we just made sure everybody we're emailing is in the 1 to 5. They're hiring for sales. That means I'm implying that things are working. And so I learned this from customer development. So I asked my customers, hey, customers, I mean, not in this formal way, but like ultimately like, hey, what's your biggest, what's the thing you're most annoyed about every day? Like, what's the most annoying thing about your job? And somebody's like, hey, you know, I have so many pieces of software to use. I got to use Uber Conference, Zoom, Mailshake, this CRM, right? Like, and like 15 other things. And like the marketing guys are like, use this awesome tool here. And like, they're just shoving stuff down my throat. Or like another person's like, I don't have resources, right? I don't have anything good to send. And so there's a list of things people are complaining about or problems they have. So my first sentence addresses that one thing. And it's not necessarily saying like, hey, I have a solution to that. I'm just empathizing with them. Like, hey, I'm a fellow salesperson. I know how annoying more software is. I'm not going to sell you more software. I want to help you better leverage the stuff you already have and kind of maybe keep the rest of the hair on your head while increasing sales and different approaches like that. I usually send pieces of content in the early part, but essentially I'm just doing interviews of customers or ideal customers, surveys of customers. And like I got, so when we started Mailshake, it was all like, we wanted to go after 1 to 5 person sales teams. And I'm like, well, let me just make sure that's actually what's happening. And so we did a survey across our most active customers in the last 60 days. And, you know, again, we asked people like, how big is your team? What's your role in the organization? And it was sales and it was 1 to 5 teams. So like, okay, great. And the people, and we essentially did customer interviews, and that's how we got those friction points. And so that's how we got our first, you know, the first line of the email kind of written. And so we did an A/B test. We didn't really do an A/B test. We did like different like sprints of different messaging. And we found that like the whole like organizing tools or kind of like sending a piece of content that talks about how to organize your tools is a good way to get a response, because somebody's like, hell yeah, that's something that's a problem for me. And that's like the whole first email.
Do you have people on your sales team, I guess, speaking with Mailshake in particular, that are dedicated to only prospecting and finding leads, and then people that are dedicated just to closing those leads? Or do you have kind of like
I have one salesperson. So
one, okay.
Well, on Mailshake, we have one. Their job right now is everything, finding and closing. So everyone's strong in different areas. My guy, Matt, is is good on the finding and sending and starting a conversation. We have a self-service product that's low friction, low, like small price point. So we don't really need closers because there's not really a hard sell. So that's why we kind of got Matt, who's really good at the, like that front end stuff. So, you know, sometimes I get on the call, but very rarely do we even have to close. That's just because of the nature of our business, right? So at the last company I was with at whenIwork.com and even at Web Profits, you know, at Web Profits, we're selling $100,000 a year annual contracts. That's expensive. That sales cycle for us is like somewhere between 3 and 4 months. And we have a person that handles the full funnel from like start to finish of a call, of a sales cycle, but they are not the same people who would be good prospectors. Like, in fact, those guys are horrible at prospecting because they're really good people, right? Like they're like, know what pain points people have. They're good. They've learned about digital marketing, but they're not going to like scrape a list. They're not going to be able to write a clever email. Matt can, but you know, so I think like there's different skill sets people have. And you have to put them in different buckets. You know, it's the SDR, AE kind of role.
Do you guys do any prospecting with your agency or is it mostly dealing with inbound leads?
To date, it's been inbound. We get around like 100 to 150 a month. Not all of them are kind of high quality. A lot of them, frankly, are probably like they're not ready to buy or don't have the budget. Like they don't know what they want. But yeah, so we do inbound only. I've done outbound before, successfully in some cases. And I found that the clients it brings on is just not, not aligned with, the kind of clients we want. So, because we're hard selling them or like we're getting them in a time where they might not be like committed, we found that there's actual issues in being able to get the stuff implemented, right? So like, for example, somebody that we would bring on through an outbound will have more difficulty onboarding and doing the work, the hard work or implementing the recommendations that we make, which means it makes our job harder. And also like the rapport that we bring, like the rapport with our team and everything like that. It's just like, they're always like you versus me. And like opposing sides, like you didn't do this and that's how we failed. When really it's a team effort. So that's why I just don't do outbound. And we do grow a lot slower because of it, but we just have a lot loyal clients. And so our churn is lower. And we have clients that if they do come on for projects, they come back. So, I mean, everybody can say this, but like, this is my second take at an agency. I'd rather sacrifice growth for sustainability and sanity any day of the week.
So, shifting gears a little bit, what would you say has been the most effective sales technique you've ever witnessed or employed yourself? And this could be with any of your businesses, any of your work experience.
I think the thing I've seen the most, the best, is I actually back in, this was my first kind of management job. One of my friends who happened to run an SEO agency at the time, and he's like, hey, it's been a while. What are you up to? Let's hang out. I'm like, cool. That sounds great. We hung out. We went and grabbed dinner. I didn't know I was being sold to the whole time. For like at least until like after I signed the contract. And I was like, fuck. Damn, I got sold. So like we had dinner, like had some drinks and nothing. He didn't talk about anything. This is not a good friend of mine. This is just like an acquaintance I had. And we've just like, he just hasn't reached out to me in a while. So he became friends with me. And then a day later, like a couple days later, he's like, hey, what are you doing tomorrow night? Let's go watch a movie. I know you like this. Like, I know you like, I don't know. It was like Cloverfield or some stupid movie. And so he's like, I know you like this. And I'm like, sure. Okay. That sounds fun. Cool guy. I haven't seen you in a while. I mean, you know, you see like a cool guy the last time I hang out. And this time around, he's like, hey, so I'm running this SEO thing. I could really help you. And it wasn't like he can really help you. Like it wasn't hard selling me, but he was just like, hey, I'm pretty sure I can make you look like a hero for your company. And what I'll do is, like, I'll charge you half of what I normally charge for the first 6 months. But if it works, you got to pay me the full price. And I'm like, yeah, that sounds cool. And like I said, what he got me was because he said he'll make me look like a hero. And then he kind of like, he's like, let's not worry about talking about this stuff. Let's go watch this movie. And I'm sitting here in the theater 20 minutes before the movie's starting, and he's talking about this. And then the next day he's like, okay. And he follows up with like a PDF of the things he wants to do. I'm like, sold. Let me go get approval right now. My friction was like, well, I don't think we have budget of what he wanted to ask for. He's like, well, I'll tell you what, I'll do it for this. What's your budget? What's the thing? He's like, what's the max you can put on your corporate credit card? I'm like, 6K. Anything over 6K, someone's going to ask you questions. He's like, cool, we'll do it for 6K then. Easy. So like, I was like, shit, I got sold. And then, I felt good about it, but, and you know, they came through and all that stuff. So it worked out, but this was back in 2010. And this was just, I was just like, wow, that's a pretty good approach, right? It's building relationship. Somewhere in the dinner, he asked me some questions that probed the thing he was going to tell me the next time I met. And then he followed up, because he was building the relationship, he followed up with more business detail the next day.
I love that. That's like the true relationship building approach to sales.
Yeah. And I've seen some pitches and things like that. And I think the biggest ones I've been susceptible to are the ones I actually enjoy. And maybe because I try to do this approach myself, is the ones that like get an online relationship offline. Right. And they surprise you, right? Like, think like Nathan, I interviewed him this morning and I was like, hey Nathan, like, you know, I was talking about his cold email process and whatnot, but the thing that he said that struck me was like, he's like, we start the conversation to people who are super relevant, and then we just kind of open the door a little bit, asking them a probing question or like offering a little bit, and then we know that they're going to say, but I like this, but. And then they wait for them to say, but they have an objection. And then they throw in a solution to that objection. And then when they go through that process, they turn that person into an advocate by doing offline. So at When I Worked at Com, the company I was previously head of marketing at before Web Profits and Ramp Ventures, which is a company that owns Mailshake and Norbert and all those companies. I worked for When I Worked at Com, and we did handwritten thank you cards. We did welcome packages for every single customer. The handwritten thank you card got 17% of customers to share it. And we did this by like everyone who signed up had to go through some sort of AE, AD, SDR. And it was low touch for the most part, but like there was a person that they heard from. It made me sometimes talk to. Like we had a girl named Sasha. And so every thank you card was written, signed off by the person that they worked with. And it's not genius. This is like a basic thing, but and then we started A/B testing on the very bottom of the card, like, hey, like, would you share this on Facebook? You know, like just different ask, and sharing on Facebook worked really well. And every share on Facebook wasn't this like, you know, click share button, no text. It was this like, I just found this product. It's freaking awesome. Sasha's amazing. So like we had to create like a new Facebook profile for Sasha because she had too many customers emailing, friending her. But anyways, like that worked amazing. And we got testimonials, we got reviews, and again, 17% shares. But it all came from because we leveraged offline and online and channels that were not like, yeah, direct mail is pretty saturated, but not for SaaS companies. Yeah. Everybody calls you to sell you freaking cable service, selling you insurance. But when's the last time you got called for a SaaS company selling you something? Very rarely. So if you're smart about it, hyper-targeted, it can work. In fact, like I said, like the guys at Influitive, they do customer advocacy. Those guys got me to do a PR story on them. Well, it wasn't like a PR story, but like, they got me to write about them. Because they called me. No one has called me ever to pitch me PR. I get 100 emails a day, but I don't get any calls. And so I was just thrown off guard and I was like, yeah, I wanted to get them off the phone. So I was like, yeah, just email me. And the guy just kept hounding me. And he was just good. He just kept hounding me with more shit, like good stuff. And he just kept saying different things, different angles, and until he wore me down. But it wasn't like this, like following up. Because a follow up, if it's not engaging, it's easy to ignore and delete. That's what most people do. But if it's engaging, and I just felt bad ignoring his emails, right? And so I was like, God damn it, fine, I'll freaking write something about you guys. So anyways, it was like, it took him 6 months, but he got me.
Do you know how he originally got your phone number?
I don't know, but it's all over the place. I mean, it's on LinkedIn, I think. I'm pretty sure I hate cold calls and stuff, but it's on LinkedIn. It's on our website, on our company website. I think I've removed it from a lot of places, but yeah, I mean, it's definitely there. I mean, check this out. Here's how you find my number, my name, phone number, and it'll come up. Like three websites will come up with what has a phone number. So easy, Google search.
All right, Sujan, this is my last question for you. What's the best investment you've ever made in the context of building your selling skills? And this could be in the form of time, money, tools, education, or experience.
Yeah, I think the best thing has been none of those. It's been on building my personal brand. It's something I've been working on. I've been working on and off since 2012. But since 2014, I've been consistently building my personal brand, and sales land in my lap now. And it's, you know, you have to do a good job. You have to do the things that you're selling. Yeah, that has to, like, the promise has to happen. But since building my personal brand, I can actually leverage the personal brand to, one, come off not salesy and maybe helpful. Number two is I can write about stuff. And because I have a personal brand, people listen. I can write about stuff that I know my target customer or target audience, the people I'm selling to, are having problems with, want to learn. And so I can, instead of, like, imagine if you send a cold email or an email to somebody selling them something, or like explain this long-winded thing of like what that friction point is. What if you just send them like, hey, I know you have a problem using all these different pieces of software. It's freaking annoying. Here's an article I wrote about how to fix it, right? When you send an article versus you explain it, it's different weight. And so those types of things have really helped me increase sales. And provide value, come off less salesy, and just, again, my net worth, I guess, has increased because a lot more deals come to us. But again, like, I've taken really much more of like a marketer's approach to sales because I'm not a sales guy. Actually, I hate doing sales myself, because I'm like, yeah, I'm a people pleaser. I just want to, like, yeah, let's do it. I want to make sure like that person's happy. But so I've applied that approach to sales, and it's worked really well for me.
I love that. That's an awesome point to wrap up. Sujan, can you tell everyone where they can go online to learn more about you and everything you're up to?
Yeah. So the best place to find me is my website, sujanpatel.com or webprofits.agency.
Awesome. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.